Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back.
No, they can't.
This is our sixth beatitude. I'll be using this for my trusty computer again. It will show what we say, but it doesn't record it, so we'll just have some fun with it and battle our way through it. It doesn't do this at home. It only does when I connect up here, so something is going. Yeah. But we'll work our way through it. Let me open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the wonderful sermon earlier today and for the privilege of worshipping and learning your word. We pray that this day we may live in your presence and please you more and more. We receive your blessings and pray for the Holy Spirit to make them real in our lives. Renew us. Right spirit within us, a poor spirit, a spirit that knows our deep need of your grace and deliverance. Free us from trying to save ourselves. Free us for the fullness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, this week we'll be in the book. And I think we're doing pure in heart. Yeah, and which starts on page 93. I'm doing this week. Luke Rogers, we're out of town next week, and Luke Rogers will be doing the Peacemakers, and I'll be back for Persecuted for Righteousness, which we were saying fits right into the sermon today, and then just as a wrap up. I really enjoyed putting this together, and it's been a pleasure to be in this class.
Subtitles aren't available.
So, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, as we were seeing in the later slides, the sixth beatitude requires that, you know, true disciples of Christ be characterized by purity of heart, and we are blessed for that, and we shall see God. And we'll talk about seeing God a little bit later on. It's really wonderful. Recapping a little. We're now beginning to see the Beatitudes, I think, as a description of the whole person. They flow together nicely. And in a sense, there may be nine of them, but they're singular and they're not easily divided, are they? No one can be hard, you know, we can't be poor in spirit and yet not merciful. You know, and in the face of the weakness of others. You can't hunger for and thirst after righteousness and not mourn after our own sins. You know, for this week we will learn that we couldn't be pure in heart and not be meek. They hang together like the fruit of the Spirit, I think, in Galatians and 5:22. As the slide note said, they together, they present the target at which we're to aim in our war against the flesh, in our goal of Christ-likeness. Yeah, I really like this piece that he writes. They describe the virtues and graces of the true disciple and the target we are to aim at in our goal of Christ-likeness. As we said last week, in the first five Beatitudes, Jesus is subjecting us to a very thorough process of self-examination. He raises each of these Beatitudes for our consideration, and he's really implicitly inviting us to evaluate ourselves in light of them. I mean, you can't help but go through them without doing the self-evaluation, can we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is great because it creates a desire for us to be different, to be better in the world. It causes us to want to become righteous. So Jesus is constantly asking of the spiritual condition of our hearts, if we're truly different from the world. And how this is shown within the world, is shown within our actions, within our conduct, which all flow from our hearts. Are we becoming what we strive to be in terms of mourning, mercy, humility, righteousness? It's all about humility, isn't it, really? Does the world attempt to persecute us for it? I think the two certainly go together, and that Alan really hit the nail on the head, you know. Moving on to this week, we'll learn that, you know, the disciples of the heart are really characterized, disciples of Christ are characterized by purity of the heart. And again, it's all about attitude and character being more significant than actions. And we're going to start talking about, well, what do we mean by purity of the heart? The author, Johnson, talks about in two ways, inward moral purity and sincerity. Would anybody like to think of any other ways to think about purity of heart? It's not that easy to really define.
Not divided.
Mm-hmm.
Not undivided.
Yeah, that's right. And he talks about that as he goes on, undivided loyalty to God. Yeah, unmixed, uncontaminated. Very good, thank you. This is from the... It's an interesting word. It's from the Greek word katharos, meaning pure, free from anything that's soiled. And it's from there our English word comes catharsis, which means emotional cleaning and release. It was used in antiquity for cleaning clothes or other objects, you know, if you were doing this. And also, it's a very strong word. It was the same word used in history for purging an army of malcontents and cowards. So, I mean, and we can imagine, that, so it is a strong word. I mean, when they purge, you know, you were toast. The heart in this case stands, of course, for the whole of our inner state, thought and will, as well as emotions, at the very center of our bodies. And this is shown in, and I've got a few scripture readings here, in Isaiah 1, verses 16 and 17, and I'll read those here. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. You know, and the author makes a note that Jesus does not say, blessed are the pure. His concern is more comprehensive than that. His concern is all about the internal, our heart purity, not external show.
You know, I think that's a good point because, you know, the Pharisees tried to be pure, but their hearts weren't.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And that's what he talked about as Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, didn't he? And the whitewashed tombs in Matthew and stuff. And said, what is it? You clean the outside of the cup, but you don't clean the inside of the cup. Yeah. And that applies to us. You know, not playing at church or settling for an outward form of Christianity too.
Or just sometimes just being busy doing things, you know, but making sure your heart's right and going past that to like really trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you're really, not all the time, but you know what I mean? When you really consider what you're doing to serve.
Just to be merciful.
Yeah.
As we struck when we talked last week, I think it was, we said sometimes we're too busy to be merciful. Our plate is too full and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's on the agenda, but not in the heart.
Oh, well said. On the agenda, but not in the heart. Yeah. And continuing with moral purity, our life should be characterized by a moral purity that comes with the awareness of, are we living a clean, pure, holy life, or do we allow corruption into our lives one small step at a time? You know, do we tolerate a little bit of dishonesty, either within ourselves, white lies, or whatever, or do we allow a little toleration of things that we know are wrong in within society, and we look the other way, and we begin to tolerate it. It's important to live according to Scripture, because the author makes a good point. The Scripture attacks sin in its elementary seed, as it cautions this in our actions and our words. This is in Ephesians 4:28-5:1. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving of one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I think that's very powerful.
What was that verse?
Ephesians 4:28-5:1.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of Alan's point today, which is convicting, that if somebody is causing you harm or discomfort or something, and you bless them back freely, knowing that God's going to take care of us. I don't know that I'm at that point yet, but I want to be.
Yeah, and he made a point of not responding in kind for kind, because Jesus never did. Jesus did put the Pharisees in their place and said what was right, but when he came for little people, he did it perfectly, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did it perfectly. Yeah. Pure in heart. Yeah. But we can't do this, can we? And it's the Holy Spirit refashions believers in the image of Christ, as Paul said in Corinthians 12:9. Which I think says it. Only by his grace are we sufficient.
I think it's really important that you point that out, because we study all this and we find out what God expects us to do and wants us to do, but how do we do it? You talked about attitude and character earlier, and now you're talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can.
That's right, isn't it? There isn't a 12-stepper to be a Christian, is there?
Yeah.
Or a 12-step to purity of heart or something like that, But we're here, and we're here, I think, the Holy Spirit nudges us, gets us here. I think it's wonderful. Secondly, so we've been through moral purity. Sincerity. He means those who are sincere. In addition to clean, pure should be understood as meaning that our hearts are unmixed or undivided. As the Arrow says, we're free from falsehood. We're utterly sincere and transparent. We're characterized by pure thoughts and motives. We are attempting to live with integrity. It is important that we love God totally more than the world and its trinity of pleasure, wealth, and power. I read that somewhere, it's not in the book, but that is the world's trinity, isn't it? Pleasure, wealth, and power. Standing up for Scripture, placing God above our wealth and our reputation. And that's tough to do these days. And I think of young people coming up in business or in large corporations. There is a lot of pressure there, you keep your religion to the side, but you better accept all this other woke stuff, all this transvestite stuff and all that. So it really is tough for people. I thought was it Mr. Phillips Allen was talking about this morning, the baker. I thought, wow. Yeah. And to win the Supreme Court case and then the same day have, and he knows it's just going to keep on coming, and it's just going to keep on coming. So there are blessings promised with this. And let's examine a little the blessings that Jesus promises that accompany purity of heart. From the slide, we note that purity is a good thing in its own right, isn't it? And its own reward. Moral purity is just as important and recognized as much as purity in our physical environment. Persons who love with pure motives and persons who help with absolute sincerity, not looking for gain, are wonderful to know, aren't they? And we all want to be around these people. We admire faithful people with pure motives. Those noted in the slides, you know, the faithful spouse, the reliable businessman, honest politician, a chaste teenager, loyal friends. And I think there's also a psychological and emotional benefit of purity. What's the benefit of a clear conscience towards God and those we love? You know, at the end, I'm sorry, yeah.
Good sleep.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. And in the end, to know that we didn't do it right, but we'd not lived perfectly, but we did the best we could with the Holy Spirit to stand before God. You know, I mean, that's a great, very, very
well. I think that is in confessing your sins. You know what I mean? I sleep better. You know what I mean? I think there's a reason we, you know, hopefully confess all day long.
Yeah, really.
But at night, have that conversation and sleep is the best.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And the author makes a point of the world scoffing, but the results are highly desired. You know, I mean, people try to tear sincere, pure in heart people down, loyal people down, but they really want to be there. But there's no shortcut to these benefits. Where we see corruption, we must rid our hearts of it, as Daphne says. You know, and that's in. A clear conscience is really good. I find in business, especially when ugly things are going on around you, you try and stay within the principles, ethics, integrity. You know, people are getting in factions and stuff like that. It's best to, you know, not become personal, just have ethics, integrity, and stick to your principles. And then no matter what happens, it happens, and you do the best you could. So purity is rewarded. Excuse me. Make sure I didn't drop it. Excuse me. We need to vigorously pursue purity. This is about us and nobody else within ourselves, to cleanse ourselves with the Holy Spirit and to perfect holiness. We're to be aware of it, to care about purity in our lives. We pray for it. We seek it. We ensure it's in our attitudes and conduct. We want to serve God with a clear conscience. I like 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Yeah.
It's kind of like that Paul, put on, put off.
And, yeah.
Flee and pursue.
Yeah, flee and pursue. That's right. Yeah. Isn't that right? Flee and pursue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Yeah. But you got to flee first before you pursue the other. I always go back to Joseph. What a wonderful thing. You know, I mean, the pressure he is in, is under, you know, and everything.
And then we could look at Jonah who fled, but in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a little of Jonah in all of us, isn't there? It certainly is. I mean, especially sitting under the tree thinking, well, gosh, you know, I came here, I was in the damn fish, and now you're not even, God, you're not even going to kill them all.
And we love your accent with it. It just is perfect,
Jonah.
Yeah.
I look funny now.
Why does
so? Yeah. Yeah, I smell like fish.
I look like a fish. You smell like a fish.
Your name is dead gum weed.
Real people. Well, I mean, they're real people. I mean, sometimes you need to remember, okay, this might be my Jonah moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the Jonah moments in all our lives. Yeah. Yeah. So, third, purity is rewarded. The pure in heart will see God. Can we, I mean, let's just spend a few minutes on this. Seeing God, infinite beauty, perfection, infinite external wisdom. Wow. to know the most, you know, we can think of all the most beautiful sights or people or whatever in the world, the Grand Canyon or whatever. It's nothing, mm-hmm. is it really? The most beautiful, most wonderful, most desirable one in all of creation. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is something. But we don't see him fully to the end, do we, now, until we're called. But we see him now with the eyes of faith. You know, in Christ we know God, from John. And by faith, like Moses, we see him who is unseen.
You know, the joy, too, is not seeing, I don't know how else to say it, but see all the crap that we might let our eyes see,
yeah.
or whatever, or hear in conversations, or, you know what I mean? It's a joy to just not have that bouncing around our brains, or...
Yeah.
Or politics, or whatever that we
yeah.
let ourselves get in, you know, anything mm-hmm. in the world that we let ourselves get, spend way too much
that's
time
right.
on, you know?
Yeah.
And that stuff bounces around in all our brains, isn't it? Sometimes more than others. What is it, St. Augustine said when he was praying, even the straw calls at me, or something like that, you know? Like he couldn't focus just on God, his knees
yeah.
were hurting, the straw was smelling.
Yeah, he's only in one room, and
yeah,
he's
yeah.
distracted still.
And he's a saint. You know, it's now as we look through a glass darkly, isn't it, from Corinthians? Mm-hmm. We can bear to see no more. And that future vision is too wonderful to be fully experienced in life.
That hymn we sang this morning, the angels behold his face. Mm-hmm. I love
yep.
that. I don't have my bulletin left in the car, but one of them, the angels behold his mm-hmm. face, praising him. You know, we can't see his face yet.
No, but how wonderful that will be. Yes. And I think in 1 John 3:13, then in order to see him, we shall be made like him. Wow, what a blessing. Then we shall know fully just as we have been fully known. From Corinthians 13:12. I mean, that really is a great promise.
That's an amazing gift. Turn us into where we can actually die
yeah.
by seeing his incredible beauty. You know? I mean, even the angels, didn't they cover their face? And
that's right, yeah.
You know, with
yeah.
all the wings. And
yeah. And it makes us put the tribulations of the world and the tribulations that we will probably receive and all the anguish we have in the world in its perspective, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get in turn. Yeah. Yeah.
Not
that,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're none of us are deserving, are we?
I read this morning, but mm-hmm. on page 97, second, he means those who are insincere, to love with all your heart. You know, I think one of the things I keep learning over and over that's really helpful is I have to beg God to let me love him, you know, like give me the ability
yeah.
to love him, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I pray for that all the time.
And it only comes through the Holy Spirit, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the author writes, as it definitely said on 97, in addition to clean, pure should be understood as meaning unmixed, undivided, are those whose hearts are not divided by conflicting concerns.
You know, or just the motives.
Yeah.
You know.
Undivided loyalty, perfect motives, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not pretending to be something we're not play acting. It's easy to say, easy to write, I think, but only the Holy Spirit can really get us there. Because the world has such distractions for us. For us to see God, as we said before, he changes our hearts. He makes us holy. Not only saves us, but he makes us pure. sanctifies us. And I think, isn't it wonderful that he not only imputes righteousness, but makes us righteous? I think that is really, really dramatic. And what a gift. Because the deeper I read in the book, you know, on the Beatitudes, it really does cause us to look at our own lives and see. As Alan says, the further you go in faith, the bigger the gap, you know, between mm-hmm. Jesus and us. Yeah. I've been racing through. Talking too fast today, I'm sorry. Would you think of, as we talk about purity, do you think the author's captured it in most ways?
Oh yeah.
I think he did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from multiple angles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think he links it into the other Beatitudes as well. Mm-hmm. And isn't it great the way the Beatitudes are aligned as one builds on the other? Mm-hmm. But what else would we expect from the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So purity is actual. Those whom God saves, he also transforms. In Christ our hearts are pure, but in this world not completely. We are pure, though that purity is not perfected until the consummation. I think that's a great paragraph. That's from the book. You know, in Christ our hearts are pure, but in this world not completely. So, you know, we justify, you know, but there's work to be done. As we wish to see God return to Jesus, only Christ can empower and enable us to crucify the flesh with all its passions and desires. And how do we see that progress as we go through our lives? Do we see it in the way we deal with people?
Yeah, every now and then, you know what you would have said immediately.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about it
every now and then.
Yeah, you know what you would have said immediately, and in my case, you know, if somebody's trying to eviscerate you, to eviscerate them back times 10 or something like that, then you just don't do that anymore. You know, and stuff.
Yeah, as we're being sanctified, our taste buds are changing.
Yeah.
So what appeals to us has changed.
Yeah. And as we said last week, we have the mercy to love those who are not like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Compassion on the worst of sinners, because we know we certainly are.
That's right.
We could have gone much worse than we've gone.
Exactly, from either last week or the week before, you know, there but for the grace of God.
Yeah,
go on. And as we look back on our lives, you can see how we were protected or we were nudged. I look back and think, wow, that could have been really, really ugly and stuff. And, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the so-called good times that we have are certainly not self-made or anything like that. They're all gifts from God. They really are. I certainly see that back in my own life. There was a time when I think we'd moved from California to Texas, and we were moving back from Texas to San Diego, and we were living on Coronado for quite a while. Guy never did ask me, you know, like, why are we not getting a house? Because, you know, I was on my way to getting fired. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes sometimes in life and executives and stuff like that, you know. And I finally got the call, Colin, you need to come to the executive conference room right away, because I got out of sync with my boss, the current president. So I came to the conference room, and in there is sitting the CEO for the whole company. He said, hello, Colin. He said, good afternoon. He said, sit down, I'm calling the rest of the staff in. We're making a major change. We're taking the president out. You know, and I thought, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, and of course I thought me and a lot of other people, we were headed out, but you know, it's almost like God interceded and stuff like that, you know, and stuff. And I, you know, and I think also looking back on my own life, there's times when I wanted to go one way, felt I deserved it and everything, and it never happened, and I was devastated, and thank goodness. Thank goodness it didn't happen. Yeah. You know, thank you, Lord. Got a few questions here. I thought they were worthwhile pulling out. So let's go for the middle one. Why does the world have a higher standard of ethics and morality for those who call themselves Christians than they do for themselves? The world seems to be very comfortable with this double standard, doesn't it?
But, you know, I think they just enjoy either, they really, I think, either have hope that somebody's, you know, that you should be doing all the good things, they, or they just really want to catch you to say it, it's all.
Yeah.
And the world is at enmity with the, with believers. I mean, they, in their inner being, the unregenerate, or they hate us.
That
could certainly be part of it, and they delight to see us fall.
That's right.
Satan reigns in them.
They're always there with the trick, as Alan was saying this morning, with the trick question. Well, what about the angels or people that have never heard, or you know, there's a big one. Well, you know, how can you say God is love and mercy if he lets all this happen,
suffering.
And suffering happen and all that sort of stuff?
Well, we say that, you know, we depend and believe and trust his word, so they're looking for us to do that. Are you really doing it?
That's right. I think some of it is, a lot of it is hatred. Some of it in some ways I think is envy. I think too.
And it's incredibly frustrating because we nor they can accept the gospel as truth unless God himself gives them that ability.
That's right, isn't it?
I mean, it's frustrating on both sides sometimes.
It really is.
Well, and you see when Christian leaders fall, pastors, theologians, those that are in the forefront.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, when...
They really delight.
Oh, you know, about poor Jerry Falwell and all that sort of stuff or whatever, or...
Oh, the bakers.
Oh, the poor bakers, you know. I'm sorry, Jim Baker.
Or they might want to get more out of us than people that aren't Christians.
Say that again?
They might want to get more out of us, expect more out of us to help to get what they want.
Because we're
Christians.
It is a perverse world. I noticed when we talked about Jamaica, people were smiling.
I know what you were thinking the last time we saw him. He's on there selling something.
It's I couldn't sleep, couldn't go to bed. It's a late night television, and I'm flicking around, and there's Jim Baker in a wig now because he's completely bored, old guy. He's got a tube of stuff up here, selling, and he says, you know, this is great for your skin, it'll cure any disease, if you've got sexually transmitted disease, it may be. And I'm thinking,
like,
please.
My heavens, you're kidding. He's going there. He hasn't changed at all.
This was some time ago. It was unbelievable. I thought, okay.
Really?
And she says, you've got to be kidding me. I said, it is. He was a good salesman, too, I've got to say.
An old Tammy thing, when we were and very young, they were big, and we'd stay up watching like you would Saturday Night Live. You'd watch Tammy Faye and the eyelashes
and they come in driving a Rolls Royce.
It was a riot.
But there, but for the grace of God,
thank you.
Yes. Hey, where in our society or culture do we see purity exhibited?
Well, hopefully in the church.
There are Mother Teresa's, who used to be around.
Who rush in, I mean, for disasters, you know, with the dogs, and they dig out the people, and the earthquakes, and I mean, just ongoing in the Middle East with all the bombings. And, you know, I really admire the you know, the few people that leave their jobs and go over there. Expose themselves mentally to all that stuff, too. I mean,
and all the loyal, faithful people that we know and see in every way and admire, you know.
I admire. I mean, we have great preaching every week.
Yeah.
We've got good Sunday school teachers. But I mean, like, they don't, you know, we don't just read it on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, it matters to be prepared and well-doctrined.
Yeah, it is, Since, I think we know the answer to this one. Since we know that no one's perfect, why should we strive for perfection? You know, that's a big one from the world, isn't it, really? We're saved, we're justified, we're on our sanctification journey. That's why we strive, hunger and thirst for righteousness, don't we?
So would you say if you are not striving for perfection, for holiness, perhaps you are not a Christian? Perhaps you are saying, well, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and died for my sins, but I'm just living my life. And debatable.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting question, I think. Yeah. In other words, is that, that could be right on the edge of playing at church, as we said. Really?
Well, I mean, that verse has scared me to death since I was a little girl. You know, you say I knew you, you know, I never knew you. I mean, you know, like, there's a lot of people who are going to be.
And you think, now, wait a minute, I went to, you know, but I never knew you.
I mean, it's, and it should be terrifying to everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the thing is, the more we get into our faith, the more we read, the more we're compelled to work and hunger and thirst for righteousness.
And that's probably why Proverbs says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God.
That's
fear
right.
Of God is the beginning of wisdom, even as we progress in the Christian faith. Right?
And it's a fear based on respect, isn't
it,
really?
But
that's
when you read that scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, where Jesus says, I never knew you. The fear of the Lord is certainly there.
Yeah, it is.
Because none of us know each other's hearts fully, you know, only God does.
That's right.
Well, be holy as I am holy.
That's right.
What did he say?
Be holy as I am holy.
Jesus said that.
Yeah, that's right.
Play church.
Very good. So unless there's anything else, I'll close us in prayer. This has been great. Thank you for your discussion. Very good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, for the privilege of studying your word. We thank you for all the gifts in our lives, all the love and the providence you have given us. And we pray for and are thankful for our continuing safety of ourselves and those we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.